Hey, readers and writers. This episode was recorded with Squadcast, a web-based software that records studio-quality episodes from anywhere in the world. Squadcast records at each user's end and then uploads it to the cloud, so even if the call quality wasn't great at the time, the end file is always perfect. So that's a good thing. And it's never lost, which is even better. It's a paid service, so there is that. But for me, it's been worth it. If you're in the market for recording software, there's a link in the show notes to get a free trial. Now let's get on with the show.
Don't do one post and it goes on Twitter, it goes on Facebook, it goes on Instagram, it goes on LinkedIn. Try and do different posts. So you have got, it's not like the same people are following you on every single platform, but there will be some of the same people that will be following you everywhere. And they don't want to see the same thing all the time. So having some variety within your posts on social media platforms is the key.
Hi, Karina. How are you doing?
I'm really well. How are you?
Pretty good. It is a beautiful day here in upstate New York. It actually started to snow this morning. My kids were so excited.
Already? It's too early.
I know. It definitely feels like it's too early, but they were like all like hyped and ready to go to school, which, you know, was a bonus. They get out the door 5 minutes earlier. So
we've had pouring down with rain over here in Corfu in Greece. It's been a really miserable day.
Oh, I'm sorry. Although I have to admit, I like pouring down rain, miserable days. Like I don't know why, but I get so much work done, like writing work done on those days. They're great. So why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Oh, I am Karina Gantus. I'm from the UK, as you can tell from my accent. Mm-hmm. I'm living on the island of Corfu in Greece for the last 27 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, most of my life, actually. I am a published author of 14 books.
Again, oh, wow, congratulations, 14
Thank
books.
Thank you. Award-winning author.
I'm just going to keep saying congratulations after everything you say.
Okay, I'm going to pause then. Award-winning filmmaker.
Oh, my goodness, so many accolades.
I am a podcaster with two podcasts, Narrations by KK and Behind the Pen. Mm-hmm. I am a YouTuber, a booktuber, and I am the radio host for Author Assist Show on the Artist First Radio Network. And I also run Author Assist, which actually helps authors with their marketing promotion. Everything from brainstorming an idea right through to marketing the final product and everything in between. And I have been in this business for over 27 years now.
My goodness. Where do you find time to do all of this?
I know. Some people call me Superwoman. And I am a one-woman show. I do this all by myself. Yeah. I don't have any help. And I'm working almost 24/7 because I have chronic insomnia, so I hardly ever sleep, and I work the weekends.
So that's when
as
all
well.
The books get written.
My books get written at the weekend. I do the editing, the promotion, and the writing at the weekend for myself, and then it's 10 hours a day during the week for my clients.
Okay, yeah, I guess you got to do what pays the most immediate money, I guess.
Well, it's pocket money. I know. Yeah. I get told off. I honestly get told off all the time with my with what I charge because of the service I provide. But I know how much it costs for, especially independent authors, to publish a book, and so I keep my prices as low
expensive.
As I can. It's over 3 years since any of my prices have gone up, and I mean,
oh wow,
we're talking 10 euros a day for virtual assistant work, which is absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I'm not ready to yell at you about that because that does not sound like enough money sounds like the service that you're providing. My goodness.
It's not. It really isn't. Compared to other PAs and VAs, it's not.
Uh-huh.
I worry that I'm definitely worth more, but I worry if I put my prices up, then I would lose my clients, and I don't want that. So I keep them low.
Right.
And like I say, it's pocket money for me, but because I earn more money from doing author assist than I do from my books, which is very sad, especially when you've got 14 of them. But, right. You know, que sera, sera.
Wow. The publishing world just in general has gone like this huge shift lately, right? Like everything, like before, like, I don't know, if you'd ask someone 10 years ago if they'd written a novel, then they went through like the traditional publisher and then they got their books out. But now like there's so many options out there right now.
Yeah, I mean, I started off when it was just paperbacks. Kindles hadn't been invented, ebooks, right? No one would have heard of. So it was straight paperback. And back then it was looking for an agent, looking for a publisher, and then getting burnt by going with a vanity press because they promise so much for you that they're going to do for you. And you pay that money thinking you're going to get the best quality and get the help and everything promised. And of course, we know what vanity publishers are like. So so many of us back then got caught in that spider's web. So many of us, because we were so desperate to get our books published, and it was so hard to get an agent. It was like getting an agent was like finding the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
I feel like it's still like that sometimes.
Yeah, most definitely. But I mean, people aren't looking for agents and publishers now because of Kindle, because of Amazon. People do it themselves. And we've got a much better reputation now as independent authors than we did 10 years ago when Amazon bought out, if it was 10 years ago, maybe even longer, bought Kindle out and allowed everybody who wanted to write a book to write a book. And everybody was published. And half of them should never have been published. And so,
yeah, there's some bad names going on there.
Yeah, that gave us a really bad name, and we had to the ones that were serious about writing and having a career and not just publishing one book for the neighbor. Then we had a lot to prove. So, thankfully, Amazon went through and got rid of the rubbish and was able to see they have their own like spell check now. So anyone who's bad at grammar, do not even think about trying to publish a book on Amazon because it will be rejected straight away.
I feel like an awful human being, but I'm so glad about that. I've read so much bad stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And that's something, it reminds me of it, like of something else that, something that you don't expect as a writer starting out now is how much money you have to spend in order just to get your book, even to the self-publishing part, because you have like editors and I mean, they cost money. And then you have someone like yourself who helps with like the developmental stuff along the way. Like, I think most people think they write a book and then they put it out there and then they make money.
Well, that's what they did do. Now, thankfully, they know that they can't go to their neighbor and ask them to edit the manuscript anymore. They know that Fiverr covers are okay for $5 covers are okay for reader magnets, you know, just to put on show. But you want a really good cover, then you pay money for it. Simple as that. And formatting. I mean, formatting.
Oh my God, yes.
No one used to do formatting. No one, as long as it was in a nice, neat line and there was chapters and the page went with the chapters, everything was fine. But now the formatting, you have beautiful designs inside your chapter headings. You have lovely font, and it really, really makes a difference to the inside of a book.
It does. And it kills me when people just don't pay attention to that. I was literally like yesterday, I was helping someone with their cover that just their title was too small and all in the same text. It wasn't eye-catching. But anyways, I was helping someone with their cover. And also their formatting was just, I don't know what they did. Did they just manually edit a line break after, when it reached the edge of the page? Their formatting was so
bad. Did you say something?
I don't know. You know what? I helped them with their cover, but I did not mention about the formatting. I probably should have, but I was already telling them things that they should change about their cover. I didn't also want to pile on and be like, hey, by the way, you should, check your line breaks.
I would have. If it was me, yeah. I would have. Yeah.
I would now have. That I'm saying it out loud, I feel like I should have, but at the moment I was already feeling like I was telling them that what was, quote unquote wrong about their cover, and I didn't want to pile on.
No, you needed to be honest with their cover, most definitely. That's what they came to you for. But when you notice that, you just say to them, look, your book gets one chance. And if you want it to have a chance and get good reviews, then you need to hire a formatter and get your formatting done professionally. That's how I would have worded it.
Yeah. I'm feeling really bad now. And I'm pretty sure after this recording, I'm going to go email them and be like, hey, by the way, I was reading it and there's these weird line breaks that you should check out.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like an awful human now. Thank you for making me feel better.
We have to help out when we can, we're experienced.
Exactly. Even if it's 24 hours later, yes.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention the other day.
Right. Yeah, give that, first criticism some time to sink in, and here's some more. So let's talk about the different publishing options that new authors have today. What would they be?
Well, you've got your self-publishing where you go with KDP and Kindle Unlimited and you just sell on Amazon and through Kindle Unlimited for a 90-day rota. And then you can go over to Drafter Digital, which are fabulous, and they then distribute to places like Apple and Nook, which is Barnes & Noble, and Kobo, which are three of the most third, fourth, and fifth most popular place outlets.
Things after
to sell
Kindle,
books.
After Kindle. Yeah,
exactly. So you can do all that by yourself. And then the other way is with a hybrid publisher, which is basically you bring something to the table and they bring something to the table. So you'll bring the cover and you'll get the formatting done and they'll do all of the editing, developmental editing, the line edit, the proofreading, maybe the beta readers. And then you sort of go half and half on any of the ads or promos that you buy for the book, which is good. I'm with a hybrid publisher. I'm with a small press and I'm also a self-published author. So I've done basically all three. With a small press, they take care of the editing costs, formatting, cover, they do everything. But what they can't do and what they can't afford to do is to help with the marketing and promotion of the book. Okay. So they'll get your book ready. They'll hand it to you. There's your book. Now go off
here.
And
go sell it.
Go sell it. Exactly.
I feel like that must be a bomb to a lot of authors. Like, I feel like a lot of authors feel like the marketing should come with the publishing.
Even if you're in the big five, it doesn't, and you think, I'm going to be with Tor, or I'm going to be with the Simon and Sousa or Mills and Booms. I don't know, all the top ones now. And you think, oh, they're going to take care of all the marketing and do me a tour and set up everything and I'll have a social media team. And no, it doesn't happen like that.
It absolutely does not happen.
To actually get your foot in the door is good. It's a good start to get your manuscript on that table of the junior editor And they'll look at it first, and then they'll decide whether it will go on to the next person, this junior editor. So if you don't get it past them, then it's in the scrap pile. So then you've got the junior editor, okay, I love this book, let's pass it on to the next one. And it'll go down to the line, maybe four or five people will read it. And if it ends up on the conference table for that monthly, let's pick our book that we're going to publish, if your manuscript is on that conference table, if you do not have a social media following already,
already established.
Established with Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, and another manuscript does, that author does.
Yeah, they're going to pick the other one.
They pick the other one.
Because it's less marketing that has to be done.
Exactly. It's because your readers are there waiting for the book. So they'll take that manuscript, they'll take that author, because as far as they're concerned, there's going to be sales.
Right. Now, you can you explain the hybrid publishing a little bit more? Like, I had someone describe it to me once as sort of like a la carte publishing. Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, like I say, it's like you split 50-50. You bring something, like I would have a cover designer design the cover. So I come to them with my cover. I've come to them with a formatter ready. We've agreed with a contract, it's all done over contract, that they're going to be sorting out all the editing. And then we agree on how much royalties each of us will make, depending on how much we put towards promotion and marketing, which of course costs money, Facebook, Amazon ads and all that. If we go half and half on that, then it should really be a total split with the royalties. If you do 30-70, then maybe you get less royalties and the publisher will get more because you're spending less on the marketing side. So, you know, you have a good chat and you work it out between you, and you come up with a fair offer, and then a contract's done, and it's just like a normal publisher. You sign the contract and you give them, you know, they've done all the editing, it's all done. So now it goes back to you. You give it to your formatter. You give them the cover. They're the ones that publish it all together under their imprint or their publishing name. And like that, yeah, it works like that. And that has been really, really popular for the last 3-4 years now. Hybrid.
Yeah, I've definitely heard it come up more and more as as time goes by. So basically the book is getting ready, and then it's basically now the author has to market it. What's the biggest marketing mistake you see authors make?
Not doing any marketing.
Other than assuming they don't have to do any.
Yeah, thinking the book's just going to sell miraculously by itself. Yeah, the biggest mistake is straight away buy my book posts, which we don't allow anymore. And the readers don't want them anymore. They just flick up them, you know, just pass by. And when I say I buy my book post, we're talking about a cover, a blurb, a link. It doesn't sell books.
All it does is just get your name in there, and then even it doesn't do a great job of doing that.
Well, even that, people aren't going to, you know, it's frowned upon now. Because it's lazy, and it's the old way of doing it, and so they're not trying, they're not pushing their marketing.
Okay.
What the readers want, they want to know that you can write, and by doing that, you can have an excerpt.
Okay.
They want to see your cover, and if your cover is really, really bad, then just put a really cool graphic, because it's the graphic that catches the person's eye in the first mm-hmm. 2 seconds and stops them then to read the post. And if the graphic right. or the cover doesn't stop that person, then the post will go down and be forgotten and not be looked at. Mm-hmm. They want to know that your book is good. Now, every author is going to rave about their book. My book is the best. I'm a best-selling right. author. But when they see quotes from reviews from people that have actually bought the book and read it, mm-hmm. that makes a difference to them.
Okay.
Okay, they take more notice of that than they would an author raving about their book.
Okay, makes sense.
Then you have quotes, a quote, a really good quote from the book, a couple of lines that will get them having to go out and buy the book because you just left them on a total cliffhanger, or you'd sort of got to the stage where you were like dot, 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 you know, and like, oh no, right. what's going to happen next? So a tease.
That's hard on a Twitter. You only have 180 tease. Characters.
Yeah. yeah. You tease them. You tease them with a quote from the book. You can have a narration. So you've actually read from the book, maybe a couple of minutes, maybe longer, or hire someone like me who does the narrations for authors.
Oh, nice. Another thing you do.
Oh, I love dressing up. I love doing cosplay. I love reading from other people's books. Yeah, I've got about 120 videos on YouTube at the moment from excerpts from people's books over the past time I've been doing it. Anyway, so that's another one. And then the other one, of course, is book trailers. Another thing that I do, and I've won International Film Festival Awards for my book trailers. So what happens with a book trailer is you allow that book to come alive. You allow the viewer to see like a film of the book, of the characters, of what the plot's going to be like, how fast the action's going to be. Is it steamy? Is it dark? Is it paranormal? You know, it tells you in that book trailer what genre you're going to get, how fast the plot's going to go, the music, if it's the right music, you know, it really gets the adrenaline going for a thriller or a creepy music for a horror. It all makes a big difference with a book trailer. And some places I know charge an absolute fortune for book trailers, and they're like a minute long. Some of them charge thousands because they have actors. Which you don't need. You really don't need. You need someone who knows what they're doing, and you need to have complete trust that they're going to bring your book alive and tell your story. So through text, music, video, and that's it. Yeah, text, music, and video. You tell the story of that book. So that's another way of promoting on social media your book without being a buy my book post.
Okay, without the static cover with the selling blurb. Yeah, I could see that.
So you've got excerpts, you've got the reviews, the narrations, the book trailer. You've got to think out of the box. You've got to do something that's different from what all the other sheep are doing. You know,
right. You got to stand out somehow.
You've
in that
got to
crazy
stand out.
Scroll. And
it's crazy because you're in a big, big sea full of other fishes, and you've got to somehow jump out of that water and be seen. So even something crazy that nobody would even think of doing for their book could be a winner, you know, even a crazy notion that even you think is won't work. Give it a go, because what have you got to lose?
Right, because nobody else has probably done it, so then you stand out.
Exactly, yeah.
How often do you recommend that authors who are marketing their new books, how often do you recommend that, like, they post these marketing materials on social media? Daily, hourly, weekly?
If it's a new book, daily, and definitely more than once a day, and try to put a different post. Don't do one post and it goes on Twitter, it goes on Facebook, it goes on Instagram, it goes on LinkedIn. Try and do different posts. So you have got, you, it's not like the same people are following you on every single platform, but there will be some of the same people that will be following you everywhere, stalking you, as we call it. And they don't want to see the same thing all the time. So having some variety within your posts on social media platforms is the key. And of course, places like Instagram, Twitter, don't necessarily always have to be about your book. It can be about you. It can be about what you're getting up to. You could do, you could be a your one of your characters for the day, and just every post you do is as if it came from your character. There you go. That's an out of the box thing.
There we go. Just pretend to be your character for a week.
Yeah, there you go. But you don't, you don't, you don't tell them. You just start posting. And then and at the end you say, oh, that was one of my characters from my new book.
Nice.
How did you get on with him? How did you get on with her?
Right.
What do you think of her? Yeah. Yeah, you don't tell them. You don't, you leave it as a surprise right to the end. And that's a really good way of teasing a new release before it comes out.
I could see how that would work. That sounds like it would be a nice, like, you haven't really even much announced the book yet, but that is your announce, is
exactly
the new character.
My last release came out November the 2nd, and then the paperback came out on November the 9th. And before it was released, people knew about it because it was on Wattpad and people were allowed to go and read the first draft on Wattpad. And I did excerpts in my newsletter, and I did narrations of reading full chapters on my YouTube. And so this was the first draft. Now, if you see the original, the actual official copy is nothing like the first draft, nothing at all.
No final copy is the same as the first draft.
No, this is, I mean, I can explain to you exactly right. We've got three mafias, okay? Russian, Greek, and Italian. And I thought it would be a really good marketing ploy and really good marketing to have every single line of dialogue from one of the foreigners in their language and then translated into English. So I had I was working with a Russian translator, an Italian translator, and of course my daughter was helping me with the Greek. And I thought, oh, this is so new, you know, no one's ever done this before. I give it to my beta readers and everyone's like, no, we can't do it, it stops the flow. It stops the flow of reading because they're having to, they don't want to see the foreign language and they're having to skip to see the English. So that was a big, big chunk taken out of the book after all of that work. It left the building. That's what I mean by it was really, really different by the final version. So anyway, so before the book came out, I started, for those that didn't know about it, I started putting these graphics up with no title. They would be like bullet holes and a blood splat, or a target on a wall and a blood splat.
Just for clarification, what genre do you write in?
It's my new book is a dark mafia romance.
Okay. All right. Makes more sense now. Okay.
Right. So then I'd be putting them all over social media platforms and not giving any link, no text with it, nothing, just the image. And then the next week I would put coming soon on a different image and that would go out. And then the next few days before the release, I would start putting quotes underneath the graphic.
Mm-hmm.
And saying Broken Chains coming soon. And so nice. It sort of teases them through the month.
You're giving build up.
A big build up until the release. And something else that I did as well, which was very different, and this is going back into publishing. I've been in this business for 27 years. I've been with Amazon all that time. Mm-hmm. I have a love-hate relationship with them. They charge too much and we get pittance for all our hard mm-hmm. work.
Right. You get such a small percentage.
A very small percentage compared to other outlets. The authors feel pressured into lowering their prices because the prices are either free or 99 cents. Mm-hmm. And so you're worried that your book is not going to sell if you have it as a proper $4.99 book, which is mm-hmm. what you should pay for a new release, you know.
Right.
So you feel pressured. I think Amazon and the authors on there pressure you into putting your book lower than it's worth. So what I did, the imprint is with a publisher, but the imprint's mine. So it's like,
okay,
it's confusing, but I'm with a publisher, but I'm not. So we went with Ingram Sparks for the paperback.
Okay.
And they distribute to 36,000 bookshop outlets around the world.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And it's always been my dream to someone to go into a bookstore and take my book off a bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want that photograph. I want that photograph right. of my book on that bookshelf. 27 years I've waited. I'm not waiting any longer. And Ingram makes that easy for us to do that mm-hmm. now. So Ingram is with the paperback. I went with Draft Digital with the ebook, and okay. you can actually go through Amazon with Draft Digital. So you're not publishing on Amazon KDP, but your book is still being distributed onto okay. the Amazon website. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't allow me to do that. Something to do with my tax papers. But I wasn't bothered about that. I like I said, I'm quite happy to leave Amazon out of it. Mm-hmm. So what I did was went to BookFunnel, which is a place you can upload your book when you want to give it out as an ARC to readers, to get reviews, to give it free okay. for reader magnets.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it on BookFunnel, and then I joined up with Payhip. And through Payhip, people can actually go and download the Mobi file for their Kindle.
Nice.
So you don't need Amazon.
Right.
But here's,
bypasses it entirely.
I mean,
the only thing you don't have is the Amazon marketplace.
Exactly. People saying you're going to make a big mistake. You know, you've got to go with Amazon. I'm like, I'm going to try it. If it doesn't work, I've got to try it. You know, mm-hmm. it's an experiment. But you know what happened? Ingram Sparks works with Amazon. So mm-hmm. the paperback book was on Amazon.
Okay.
Now people can go over to Payhip and get the Mobi Kindle mm-hmm. and they can go to anywhere, Kobo, Apple or whatever, and get the ebook for any other mm-hmm. devices, their computer, whatever.
Right.
I sold more paperback books than I've ever done in any of my book releases.
That's awesome. I'm so happy for you.
I'm happy for me. It worked. It worked. Less ebooks. I mean, I sold ebooks, but less ebooks because of it not being on Amazon. But I've mm-hmm. never sold that many paperback copies in a release before. So I, as far as I'm concerned, the experiment worked and I will carry on with mm-hmm. what I'm doing. if it's not broken, you don't fix it.
Right. If as long as there isn't some kind of like just wonky chain in that method, it sounds like it's a good way to go.
Yeah. I mean, I was judging, you know, people saying, no, you know, you're going to lose. I have probably lost loads of ebook sales because it's not on Kindle, on Amazon, but mm-hmm. I've made paperback sales instead. And another thing is that instead of all the reviews being on Amazon, they're all over the place. They're on Kobo.
Right.
They're on Barnes & Noble. And that's never happened mm-hmm. before either, because they've all been straight on Amazon.
Nice. I want to touch back, briefly rewind back to where you said that you put your first draft on Wattpad. How does that work out for you? Do you find you get more readership from that? Or do you use that like as a beta reader platform?
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be people just go on and they write whatever books they want. It was for, mm-hmm. it started off being fan fiction and lots of young right. kids do. And now it's the books on there are absolutely brilliant. They deserve to be bestsellers. Yeah,
I've talked to quite a few authors who post on there now.
Yeah, I mean, and they're actually getting published. Wattpad are actually publishing them officially, and they're getting paid for their work now.
That's nice.
And they have once a year they have the Watties Awards. Mm-hmm. Which again, you get a publishing contract if your book is one of the winners in the categories. But I put mine up there because I was a Wattpad reader, mm-hmm. Total binge. Every time I'm offline and not working, I'm on Wattpad reading.
Mm-hmm. It's so hard to stop. Actually, I find it's like a bit of an addiction. Oh, sometimes I literally addictive. Have to put it down and walk away because it's so addicting.
I mean, you know, after the first three pages, whether they can write or not. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to give your time to someone who's just...
Right, and it's easy to switch to something else. And, yeah.
Exactly. And they cover every single fiction genre on there. So I've had my phases. I've gone through from BDSM to alpha werewolves to mafia. You know, I've gone through binges and stages with them. But yeah, I thought, right, well, I'm going to start this new book. Why not to write it on Wattpad? Now, I've never put my work out like that before without it being edited, mm-hmm. without it, you know.
Right, going through somebody else first.
Exactly, because I know how bad I am writing without my editor. Mm-hmm. I know. If I go on there now and I read it now, I'd cringe.
Right.
But I promised myself, no matter what would happen, that I would keep the first draft on Wattpad, even after the mm-hmm. book's published. So I get binge readers, you can see, because they just go straight the way through the book, all 42 mm-hmm. chapters, you know. And then I get a few comments, but I think I'm late in the game. Where you see those ones that have had like 1.2 million views, you know, right. And they've had like, I don't know, 40,000 comments, whatever. That's never going to be me because I'm too late in the game. And
right, you don't have the following, I guess.
Exactly.
You can still build it, though.
Oh, you can still build it. I just really don't have the time for that. So mm-hmm. I was lucky. I mean, just using hashtags for the things that were in the story, the plot, the genre, the... places using those hashtags got me the readers that I've had. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what number I'm on now. That'd be good. That'd be interesting to find out. Because I also did it on Inkit, which is similar to Wattpad. Mm-hmm. So you can go over to Inkit, Karina Gantis, and you'll find the first draft of Broken Chains on there as well. But I would advise you to buy the published copy because it's absolutely brilliant. And every review I've got back has been 4 or 5 stars. I was nice. So worried because the content is really triggering and it's mm-hmm. it's very violent and it's very sexually explicit, as it mm-hmm. would be for that kind of book, dark romance. Right. You expect explicit sexual scenes. Mm-hmm. Mafia, if you're going to do it right, you're going to have a lot of violence in it.
Yeah.
And of course, I wanted to do it as realistic as I could. So, and I don't put trigger warnings. I don't, because my cover, my blurb tells the reader what they're going to get.
And true. As long as you're explicit
if you're very clear
about what the book is going to be about.
Exactly. If you see it and you read the blurb, you'll know what you're going to get. And so far, all of the viewers, reviewers, all the readers knew what they were getting. They were ready for it. They've actually put on their review, can be triggering to some people, be warned, but I absolutely loved it. Wow. And you've got to read the views.
That must feel nice.
Amazing. I'm ecstatic. I'm so happy with the way the release went, with how people are loving the book. Mm-hmm. I knew when I was writing this book, there was something very special about it. And when you've done 14 books, to have one really stand out is very unusual, because they're all your babies, you know?
Right. You love each and every one of them.
Yeah,
right.
They all mean something special to you, and you can't pick out one. But I knew when I was writing Broken Chains that it was going to be the book that was going to do it. And so far that has been the case. So
nice.
I'm ecstatic.
I'm so happy for you. It's always nice to hear when somebody feels like this is going to be the one, and then they do a good job. Like, it's always nice to hear that story.
Oh, I have a cursed book, if you want to hear that story.
Oh, please tell.
Oh gosh. I spent a fortune on the release for prize draws, all these prizes I was giving out. All you had to do was buy the ebook copy, and you'd be in for the draw to win these amazing swag with all of the cover of the book. And the cover is absolutely beautiful. It was called The Quest, and it was book two of a fantasy, paranormal romance young adult. And book one did so well. So I had no problems. Book two, it already won awards. So I was, didn't think I'd have a problem with it. I sold 3 copies on the release.
Oh my goodness.
3 copies. And
that's sobering.
In the last, how long's it been out for now? Hold on. When was it published? It was published in 2019.
Okay, so just before the pandemic.
11 reviews.
Oh my goodness.
And for me, that's a cursed book, because every time I do a promotion on it, every time I put it down in price, it just bombs. And it's got awards from awards from competitions, and a 5-star review from Reader's Favorite. And the reviews that it's got, they've been 5 stars, but it will not sell.
I wonder what it is. I literally, like right before this, I got off talking to someone about how they had to, the book wasn't the same issue. Like it wasn't selling, and they end up going through a rebrand. Have you thought about doing something like that, where they redid the cover and redid the title and
redid the marketing? Because this is with a publisher, she wanted to change the covers, and I was adamant I wasn't going to, because I came to the publisher with my covers, because I was self-published before I got the contract, and there was no way I was changing them, because they were exactly as I wanted them. There is no way. And when the duology came out, the cover has been changed for the duology already. Because that bombed. So we changed the cover for the duology. The audiobook's out of the first book. And we changed the blurbs of all of the books. And so, yeah, it's just a cursed book. It's just one of those things.
And I'm so sorry for you. That sucks.
It happens, you know.
It's life. That's writing life.
I'm into marketing and promotion. I know what I'm doing, but mm-hmm. that is a cursed book.
Yep. Sometimes it just happens. Right. Quickly before we wrap, because we're starting to reach the end of our time here. I know, it was so fast. I want to talk briefly about ads, about marketing ads. I want to ask your opinion. Where do you think new authors, because it always seems like people are always saying you should take out ads for your book. That's how you get readership sometimes, to reach the people like within your circle that you wouldn't normally reach. What kind of ads, where should they advertise?
Well, first of all, this is just my humble opinion. I would stay mm-hmm. away from Facebook.
Okay.
Because you know how they have stopped the viewing of posts now. They've right. limited how many people see every post. And even when uh-huh. you pay for a boost, it's still limited. Well, the same goes right. for an ad. They're only going to allow so many people to see that ad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically throwing just money away if you do a Facebook ad. Mm-hmm. Amazon ad, it's gone up like triple in price in the last 5 years.
Right.
If you are competing against another paranormal romance novel, you're talking maybe $3.50 per click.
Wow. That's a lot.
That is a lot. That is a lot. So if you want to make money and a profit off of Amazon ads, you need to spend money. You need to have mm-hmm. that money. And we're talking a lot of money.
Right.
And then you don't play around with that kind of money. So you either give it to
right.
someone.
Right, it has to be a sure thing, or you're throwing
you
it away.
You give it to someone who knows what they're doing, who can do it mm-hmm. for you, or you go through all the webinars and all of the YouTube videos and learn how mm-hmm. to do it yourself. But you mm-hmm. need to have a good lump sum if you're going to make anything, because I tried doing an Amazon ad on one of my books a few months ago. And when I saw the prices per click, I thought, no, I can't compete with that.
Right. So where should people advertise then, or just stick to social media? What's your professional opinion here?
All right, I'll throw some out. Let's see, Free Booksy, Bargain Booksy, they've always okay. worked for me. But again, they're for free books and 99 cents books, which means they're basically right. for Kindle Unlimited books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not a lot of promotion you can do for a full price book.
Okay.
Okay. So these promotions, if you're going to spend money on a promotion, then you make sure your book is discounted before.
Okay.
Okay.
So that would be like if you wrote a series, that'd be the first book or two in the series to get them to go back and buy
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You
give
ones.
The first one free, you do the second one for 99 cents, and the others will be full price.
Mm-hmm.
With Bargain Booksy, I've done maybe Bargain Booksy and off my head now. I'm trying to think of them all. Book Doggy, it's another one.
Okay.
Book Doggy. I'm just flicking through my calendar. So I can see where I've done them all. I could give you a full list. Oh, dear. I should have had that ready for you. If you go onto Google and just type in paid promotions for books, mm-hmm. and what will come up is like an elaborate article of someone who's put their book on 5 or 6 different sites, and it will show you mm-hmm. how many downloads they got and how much it costs to put it on that site. That's what uh-huh. you need to see, because then you can see exactly
you have a better understanding of what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, and what you're paying for and what you're going to get. I've done free websites that would put my book up for free, not cost me anything, and still got maybe 2,500 downloads without it costing me a penny. Nice. Because they are out there. So you just got to Google them.
Okay. Anything that we didn't touch on that you want to talk about?
Just author assist. Yeah. If anyone needs help with, let me just, before I lose my voice, I'll just read out everything on, it's like an a la carte menu. It's like a pick and mix.
Okay. And I will include these in the show notes, by the way, listeners.
Thank you so much. Okay. So I have my podcast, as you know, and my radio show. Mm-hmm. So that's part of promotion. I do branding and logo designs and graphics and banners. I do the narrations. I do the book trailers.
You really are a one-woman show here.
I really am. I upload your book onto websites that allow, it's like a database of like a book store, and it doesn't cost anything for you to upload your book. So my clients get all their books uploaded on there for free. I do voiceovers. I also set up ACX audiobook setup. I do ebook cover designs. I do the Amazon advertising, the Amazon ranking, where I can actually get your book to number one, because I've done it many, many times. And you can become a bestseller for like 2 days.
24 hours.
Exactly. But you've got that title then, and everyone just...
Right. You can say you're a bestseller.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone throws it around, but you have the right to use that title. You know, you're an Amazon bestseller. So I can do that for you, and also get you into those 10 other mystery hidden categories that some people still don't know that their book can be in 12 genres on Amazon. And not just those two that you're told about when you load up your book. Book ads, Facebook advertising, blogging, contacting newsletters and websites about your free or discounted book. I do newsletter management and also get a newsletter ready if you haven't got one. Bookmark designs, teaser banners, design packages, brainstorming sessions. And I do one-on-one training where I will teach the author how to use places like Story Origin, which is an amazing platform for authors. I will teach them how to use Canva, which is an amazing graphic and easy to use platform for authors. And many other, anything they want to learn, I'll do a one-on-one with them and go through every single stage of how to do it. And then when they try and do it themselves, if they have questions or they couldn't do it, I'll come back onto line with them, go through it again. This is what Author Assist is all about. It's about teaching authors how to do it themselves and not have to pay someone every time to do it for them.
So they don't have to pay you every time. You run them through the process once and then send them on their way.
Bingo. But another thing is I'm always there for them. Even if they were my client last month, 2 months ago, they can come back to me and ask a question, and I'm there to help them. Once a client, always a client.
Right.
I go through everything, but I want to give back what I've learned over the 27 years I've been doing it, because I was in the same position. I published a book, I had it in my hand, and I thought, what do I do now? I didn't have a clue. And so many are still publishing, so many books are being published every day, and so many authors are in the same, especially debut authors. So that's what I'm here for.
They just don't know what to do.
Just contact me on Facebook. You can contact me as Author Assist or Karina Gantus, even as my author, my actual name. And
again, I will put all these links in the show notes.
Yeah, no problem. I'll send anyone a service sheet and they can see how dirt cheap my prices are. They are ridiculously cheap.
Awesome. All right. Well, you have been a wonderful guest. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me today.
Well, thank you for making me lose my voice, Debbie. I really appreciate that.
Well, you can go drink a glass of water now.
Oh no, I'm going to have a nice big glass of wine. I'm done for the day now.
Oh, that sounds even better.
Meanwhile, I have to go pick up my kids from school, so no wine for me yet.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock here in the evening, so yeah, I'm on to a glass of wine, onto Wattpad, and I'm chilling then for a couple of hours.
Awesome. Well, have a great evening then.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been such a pleasure.
Read and Write Podcast is edited and produced by Deborah Zebarth. Music was provided by Lo-Fi Girl and can be found at lofigirl.com or on their YouTube channel. Audio effects were created by Red Octopus and Black River Phonogram. Show notes and previous episodes can be found at readandwritepodcast.com. And that's it. Thank you for listening to the show. If you like what you're hearing, make sure to rate Read and Write on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you have a suggestion for a future episode, drop me a line. I'm always open to suggestions. Also, did you know that Read and Write publishes 3 episodes a week? Check out the podcast's YouTube channel for Write With Me Mondays live streams and 30-second book reviews on Fridays.